go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour on this, the final day of July, yes, the 31st day of July, 2015. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go. If you want to pop into the chat room, we'll have a rockin' rousing time of it this evening, I do believe. So far, we send out the school bell. Good evening, Texas D, and good evening, Anatole, and good evening to longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, also the longtime, indefatigable, inveterate, veteran Horn Malloy Skype chat group moderator Sparky. Also, third stage guild navigator Sparky, who has chosen apparently not to hold space this evening because I have a sneaking suspicion it's probably like a blast furnace out there in the man cave at the moment. Mm-hmm. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, yep, we're done with July in about, or at least the program is. July is done, at least here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, about 5 hours and 57 minutes change. But we at the Horn are done with July in about 2 hours and 57 minutes, and we're racing to catch up. We have a fundraising hold this evening of $454, and thank you very kindly we closed off yesterday at an even $499. I know for a fact that Carol didn't mean to, but she took us to a nice round even number from which I can do lots of ciphering. So we wound up last night at $499 for the week, and a little bit ago, a couple of hours ago, and thank you very kindly for it, we got a little more help. So thank you very kindly to Rob out in California, who took us down to $479. And then longtime supporter of the program and longtime listener, Tony, took us down to $454. And along the way, Tony sent a note. He said, just sent $25 to help out with the end of the month bills. I would also offer a challenge to my fellow Horn podcast listeners. I'll match the next $50 in contributions, 5 times 10, 2 times 25, 10 times 5, however it's done. Up to $50. I don't listen every day, so just send me an email, Tony says, and I will, and let me know if the match has been met, and I'll PayPal along the doubling funds. Have a great weekend and good health, and thank you, Tony, in Chico, California. Horn listener since 2006. Yes. And I might add, like a few others, Tony is also a subscriber. Yes. So we've got $454 to go. And we can do that in any way, shape, form, or fashion. $45.40 times 10. And that's as far as my ciphering goes. But that's where we are, and there are beaucoup de bills to be paid. Yes. And that's 30 at $16 a piece, I think, according to Sparky. I'll take your word for it. It's a little early for the Cyphers and Gazintas yet this evening. It is Friday on the front porch on the horn. Oh, by the way, yeah, the rest of it all goes with it. If you wish to participate via PayPal, then by all means, go to the Contribute tab where you will find the PayPal interface that includes what we think are overly intrusive inquiries into one's personal life. And luckily, you can leave those blank. The one about your underwear size. Right. You can leave that blank. But just fill in enough information to get you to the next screen. And that's all it's about, is just getting to the next screen, wherein you'll choose, you know, your PayPal balance, your what have you, you know, MasterCard, Visa, etc. Oh, it begins. Luta, you don't know what you started. Carol has now cured the round number. Oh, God. I think I can do this. Our fundraising goal just dropped to $430.06. Yeah, you thought you had. Yeah, I got that pretty quick. $430.06. I'm pretty proud that I got that quick. Thank you very kindly, Carol, and Rob, and Tony. That's the PayPal interface. If you prefer to participate via the U.S. Postal Service, drop me a note so that I can include it in the evening's number, and so I can also provide a heads up to Boss Man Wayne, so that he won't have to put on the spider-proof gloves when reaching into the Horn Echo Chamber there at the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, Beckley, West Virginia, WV25801. Oh, that's handy. Thank you very kindly, either Lottie or Sparky. Our topic this evening in the chat room is 430.06. I'm writing it down just for the fun of it anyway. R30.06, carry the 12. Got it. Seems like a long way to go in one little Friday evening. But maybe we can. Maybe, just maybe. And it is, after all, as I noted, Friday on the front porch. That means we'll wrap up the week with the week wrapping up Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable of members of the Horn Family Commune Congregation. There are two different ways to participate in the Horn Molloy Skype. Well, one is the Horn Molloy Skype chat group. And that would be moderated, as I've noted, for years on end by Sparky. And if you've never participated before, just get on Skype, set yourself up an account, and send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, and he will get you set up and ready to roll. Well, yes, Anatole, carry the 12. You always carry the 12, don't you? I carry a 12 everywhere I go. 12 and a fifth, as a matter of fact. Krugerrands, Carol? You've got Krugerrands? The other way is to participate on the stress line, which we reserve for people who can't, for various reasons, make Skype work. We named it after Bill Miller, Mr. Stress, because that's the way that he and Kevin would come into Friday on the front porch, because by virtue of his visual limitations, Mr. Stress had a hard time operating Skype, as does Kevin, because apparently Access software doesn't do very well with Skype. Right. Yeah. Because why would somebody who is visually impaired ever want to use Skype, right? Right. So that's 304-663-HORN. 304-663-4676. And we'll fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, oh, in about 50 minutes or so, depending on how things shake out. I thought, just by way of getting started this evening, we have a cat update from Jim. Jim, you might recall, mentioned the fact that he was taking the Shady Lady to the veterinarians. No one was going to enjoy it. Jim updates us with an email, subject line, naked, N-E-K-K-I-D. Shady Lady is naked, and not too happy. Well, maybe she'll pay a little more attention to that long-haired coat of hers. She's elderly. But hopefully she'll tolerate it as best as can be helped. Hoped. Now, I thought we would begin the program with a bit of an update. Yeah. Since last night was stuff we missed while we were freaking out over a dead lion. Well, this comes courtesy of our friend Beth in Dallas. This is our, we need a sound effect for this, don't we? There's our sound effect. It's our Louisiana brain-eating amoeba update. Headline, it's still there, or they're still there. And we're talking, of course, about Nigleria fowleri, otherwise known as brain-eating amoeba. And the lead sentence in the news story from the New Orleans Advocate says, the Nigleria fowleri amoeba is alive and well in Araby. I'm assuming it's Araby, A-R-A-B-I. Now, if it was in Alabama, I can tell you definitively it would just be Arab. Yeah, not too awful far from Gadsden and Fort Payne, Huntsville, Arab, Alabama. I think that's where they've got the big outlet for stuff that's been lost in airports. But anyway, that's Arab, Alabama, not Araby, Louisiana, in St. Bernard. Not Bernard. It's not like they're hillbillies. In St. Bernard Parish. I'm not making light of this. I would be a most uncomfortable human being if I lived in St. Bernard Parish, Louisiana right now. And I think I'd be none too comfortable in the Big Easy, for that matter. Because St. Bernard Parish is like 5 miles from New Orleans. But then again, I don't walk around snorting a lot of water. I try not to snort a bunch of anything anymore. But yes, the brain-eating amoeba is alive and well in Araby, St. Bernard Parish, Louisiana. Richard Thompson, writing for the Advocate there, says that's the message officials with the State Department of Health and Hospitals conveyed late Wednesday after another round of testing confirmed the presence of the rare brain-eating amoeba at 3 sampling sites. Not one, not two, but 3 for St. Bernard Parish's water supply. The subheading, actually the headline, and I think this is why Beth shared this on my Facebook page. I'm not concerned with it, St. Bernard Parish President David Peralta said of dangerous amoeba found in water. That's a mighty brave man. Then again, maybe he doesn't have little children who play in sprinklers. Or maybe he never wakes up hungover and goes to the bathroom sink and splashes water on his face. Or, hard to say. That's the message that officials with the State Department of Health and Hospitals conveyed late Wednesday. After another round of testing, see, this is not the first, the second probably, confirmed the presence of the rare brain-eating amoeba at three sampling sites. Yeah. It gives the addresses where the samples were taken and where it showed up. Health Department Medical Director Dr. Jimmy Guidry said the tests from today, and this was Wednesday, were confirmatory. I think Dr. Guidry is trying to sound a little sciencey so as not to run into the room screaming, "Oh my God, there's still brain-eating amoeba in the water." The tests from today were confirmatory. And oddly enough, even after the chlorine burn, well, somehow or another, the chlorine hasn't reached the pipes of Araby. Because they want the required minimum chlorine level, and this is for the entire state of Louisiana, by the way, is 0.5 milligrams of chlorine per liter of water. Well, there at those testing sites in Araby, the chlorine levels are still 0.01 and 0.08, or a range in between. The three sites were between 0.01 and 0.08 milligrams of chlorine per liter of water. So it's still not a real good idea to be doing things that might require you to, that might get water up your nose in St. Bernard Parish. And we don't really know what all's being done in the other parishes. But we do know that thanks to climate change, this stuff's moving north. One hopes that maybe public water system administrators are keeping an eye on this and not saying, well, you know, it's just one little parish in Louisiana. And then again, for that matter, I haven't heard yet, any time now, Donald Trump may declare for a wall to be built around St. Bernard Parish to keep the amoeba from, the Mexican rapist amoebas from getting into New Orleans. We are, after all, talking about Donald Trump, aren't we? See, there's a little bit of a problem. They had a community meeting at Nunez Community College, and Dr. Guidry said he wasn't convinced that the amoeba's presence in the water testing stemmed from faulty equipment, because that's what Parish President David Peralta, who said he is not concerned, had asserted. Peralta had claimed that it was not so much a matter of having brain-eating amoeba in the water, but that the testing equipment was broke. And there was a crack in the pipe that had allowed stagnant water to accumulate nearby. And that's probably where the amoebas seeped into the water, through the cracked line. Because they're crafty, those amoebas. They'll go sneaking across the dry parts of the Rio Grande. Oh, wait a minute. Too much Trump. But no. Dr. Guidry, who is a doctor, a real one, said, eh, not buying it. Of the water, parish president Peralta. Anybody want to guess the way this guy votes? Anybody want to guess about this guy's voter registration? It's safe. I'm not concerned with it. Wrong accent, I'm sure. But I couldn't help thinking back to January and early February 2014 when, with more than 10,000 gallons of pure poison in the 9-county area water supply served by the for-profit corporation West Virginia American Water, your rate increases go to our shareholders, West Virginia American Water, looking after shareholders. But Gert, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, said, well, you know, it's everybody's individual decision whether they drink the water. Well, are you drinking it? None of your damn business. Of course, it was a little bit different back in 2014 in that 9-county area. It didn't matter if you drank the stuff, washed with the stuff, or flushed out the feeding tube line of your incapacitated child with the stuff. It was poisonous. Just breathing the stuff was poisonous. Whereas with the brain-eating amoeba, which is actually naturally occurring on Earth, yeah, you've got to be kind of active about it. You've got to do something that's going to get water up your nose. And I think one of the things that disturbs me most is that in all the stories I've read about the damn brain-eating amoeba, I haven't read a lot of stories about how you cure brain-eating amoeba infection. Pray? Is it prayer? I don't know. So just, what, watch this space, I guess? We'll try not to get too freaked out about brain-eating amoebas. Because after all, there's other stuff to freak out about. Yes, Lord, yes, there is. Odessa, Texas. You know, there's an Odessa, Missouri, too. But this is Odessa, Texas. There's an Odessa somewhere else as well. You see a lot of things in a public park, and I mean, and sometimes on public beaches. Remember the story from a couple of two months back about the two people who are going to be registered sex offenders now, one of whom is going to go up and do hard felony time because they decided to get drunk and what did Andrea Tarantula call it last night? Oh, and do the horizontal hula. Yeah, if only the woman involved had gotten up and made her man a sandwich after they were done, well, maybe she wouldn't have gotten arrested too. But you might recall that the West Virginian was involved in dropping the dime because, well, we're decent folk here in West Virginia, and we don't do the horizontal hula on the beach. Anyway, you see this kind of stuff sometimes in parks, sometimes on beaches. Sometimes behind dumpsters, behind bars after closing hours. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. But never mind. Memorial Gardens Park is a public park in Odessa, Texas. And police were called to Memorial Gardens Park in Odessa, Texas. Because a woman called 911 after she saw two people assaulting a woman on the ground. Let's see what the audio's like on this, shall we?
Louder and louder. She thinks she was on the ground, and they were standing over her with hands on her, screaming, "Satan, I demand that you depart." You've been, you know, and it just went on and on and on.
That's a reaction from one bystander after what eyewitnesses are calling an exorcism this morning.
Yeah. Alfresco exorcisms in the park in Odessa, Texas. You know, right down there by the duck pond. But, well, I guess you'd want to do it near some animals, because if you read your holy scriptures, you'll find out that you need a bunch of animals to chase the demons into. Yeah. The two had the one woman on the ground, standing over her with their hands on her and screaming, "Satan, I demand that you depart." Yeah, no word on where Satan went. No ducks went crazy, and, well, a duck wouldn't go crazy and run into the water. Didn't the swine that got the demons in them in the New Testament, didn't they go crazy and run into the River Jordan or something and drown? I don't know. But it's just another day in Texas. And by the way, had the woman chosen to sue her two exorcists, she would have been foreclosed in her recovery, because it would have violated the church's, assuming these two people were part of a church, it would have violated the church's First Amendment rights to be sued for performing a religious ritual. Mm-hmm. Here's the fun part. Even though there was a woman on the ground being battered, you know, an unconsented two-touching of an insulting or provoking nature, and even though police witnessed it, they couldn't do anything about it. Because impromptu alfresco exorcisms ain't illegal in Texas. Now, in that other Odessa, in Odessa, Missouri, I'm told they do their exorcisms in the community center because it's air-conditioned. And besides, you know, with the ducks, there's duck poo, and, well, at least there aren't any brain-eating amoeba, right? So now we got something else to worry about. There you are, just walking your pagan heathen self along, and bang, you're exorcised. This is the kind of stuff we save for Friday on the front porch. And, you know, I mentioned earlier in the week, I think it was, maybe it was last week, we've been getting some excellent cantaloupes up to the Wiggling Pig. Really, really sweet ones. Just yummy. Cold or just room temperature, doesn't matter. It's like candy. Do you have a food dehydrator? Have you ever put cantaloupe or watermelon in your food dehydrator? It dehydrates to down to just about nothing, but what's left is really tasty. But I can never hear the word cantaloupe anymore without thinking about Iowa member of the House of Representatives, Steve King, and by extension, the people in that district in Iowa who send Steve King to Congress. Makes me kind of wonder if there's maybe surreptitiously been some brain-eating amoeba up in Iowa way. I hope not. Careful with the water there, Barbie. Greg. Well, this is just precious. Now, when I think about when I hear the word cantaloupe, yes, I think about Steve King the way I think about Louis Gohmert when I hear the word asparagus. But we have to add something else that's going to make me think of Steve King. And look, I'm not actually out there seeking things to make me think of Steve King. My nightmares are weird enough as it is. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be there. But Slate has reported, as has the Sioux City Journal, that Steve King has apparently moved on from... Oh, damn, Randy, that sounds good. Sorry, food porn. Randy says, you need to get some good raspberry syrup to pour over your fresh cantaloupe and possibly some vanilla ice cream. Yum, yum, yum. Who would have ever thunked of raspberry syrup on cold cantaloupe with ice cream? Not I. But I am intrigued, and I shall. In fact, did I see something in the chat room not too awfully long back that our dear friend Jug of Punch and the lovely Mo were making, could it be, raspberry syrup? In the chat room, courtesy of Sparky. When I said it never occurred to me that combination, Sparky simply responds, a stoner would, Bob. I'm out of practice. But anyway, so there's cantaloupes. But now when we think of Steve King, we have to think of something else. Because now that two men who love each other, or two women who love each other, can, according to the five unelected judges in their black robes, get married, because 14th Amendment, in other words, the Obergefell versus Hodges case, well, we've moved on from cantaloupes. And this is significant for me, and maybe for everybody this time of year. I know this will be significant for my mowing buddy down in Kentucky, our pal Dennis. Lawnmowers. Everybody has to name their lawnmower Steve now, which will be really annoying to Cat Stevens out there in Hooterville. Mm-hmm. This is the quote. Steve King making stuff up. And apparently he was at least a little put off by the idea of becoming the latest the latest internet game by Dan Savage, so he didn't go to Man on Dog the way that Pat Robertson did the other day, and God knows Bro Fromix has, you know, Ricky Santorum. Oh, he's another one of those presidential candidates who won't be in the debate. Poor Rick. He and his fetus in a jar will have to watch from home. No. Steve King, making stuff up, told the Sioux City newspaper, I had a strong Christian lawyer tell me yesterday that under this decision that he has read, what it brings about is it only requires one human being in this relationship, that you could marry your lawnmower with this decision. I think he's right. We can be serious for a moment and note the fact that Steve King just said that only, and maybe it's a step forward. He's acknowledging that one half of a same-gendered couple getting married, he's acknowledged that one half of it is human. One half of the couple is human. Yes. But why the lawnmower? From cantaloupes to lawnmowers. That's the very definition of non sequiturs, isn't it? Over at Slate, Ben Mathis Lilly asks, first it's men marrying men, then marrying dogs, then lawnmowers. You might ask, where does it end? I'll tell you where it ends. With every man in America being ordered to marry a dog that's riding a lawnmower. Or pushing one. Some of us don't have riding lawnmowers. Ben, dang it, you elitist, you snob. Lawnmowers. So now, I guess in Sioux City, there's a collection going around among the people who send that man to Congress every 2 years. Maybe it's a GoFundMe. Maybe it's an Indiegogo. To build the Iowa Monument to Steve King. I envision a hand-carved granite John Deere. That'd work, wouldn't it? With the 48-inch cut, mind you. And a dog in the seat. Lawnmowers. Cantaloupes. What are they going to take from us next? I'll probably have nightmares about Steve King riding lawnmowers over fields upon fields of cantaloupes. And it will not be pleasant. Oh, and on a far more serious note, from the Department of Yuck, the guy who shot down Sam Ambrose in pretty much cold blood, is out on bond. Yeah, when's the last time you read a news story about someone being accused of committing murder by shooting someone right in the head? And you heard about him being even admitted to bond. I mean, remember the arraignment of Dylan Roof? Remember how they've had a bond hearing for him? Remember how that bond hearing was only on the wounding charge? Because in the state of South Carolina, a suspect in a murder case is not allowed to have bond at all. Me too. Well, in Ohio, if you are a police officer who shoots an African-American man in the head and then concocts an entirely unbelievable cockamamie story about how he was going to drag you to your untimely death, which is then found out to be a cockamamie line of crap, and the district attorney indicts you, well, the judge will say, I'm going to set bond in your murder case for $1 million. Somewhere out there today, Ray Tensing is walking around a free man. Because Daddy must have some assets. Daddy rounded up $100,000. You heard that right, $100,000. Which he then gave to a bail bondsman. Who then presented it to the court and stood surety for the other $900,000. And here's the funny part. Had Daddy not had the means to pay the hundred large to the bail bondsman, he probably still would have gotten out. WCPO-TV writing that Stu Matthews, the lawyer for Ray Tensing, has said he's gotten numerous calls offering to help pay for his bail and his legal fees. And once again, lawyer is making stuff up, probably. Otherwise, maybe they'd come forward with the actual evidence. There have apparently been some serious threats made against my client. He's almost like a zombie. This morning he asked me several procedural questions, which I answered. And then a minute later he asks me the same questions like it's not registering. He's kind of in a trance. You know who's not in a trance? Sam DuBose. Sam DuBose is dead with a bullet through his head. Yeah, Sam DuBose is dead. Oh, and by the way, the other two cops. Yeah, they're not going to be charged with lying to cover up for Ray Tensing. Because I guess you can just do that. On the other hand, however, do not, whatever you do, do not squeeze off around at Zim. You remember Zim, George Zimmerman, as in the white folks that wrote in on social media, good shooting Zim, the guy who gunned down Trayvon Martin for the summary executable crime of possession of Skittles with intent to consume, that Zim. Matthew Apperson, 36 years old, got his bond revoked. He was out on bond, having been charged with attempted murder. Of George Zimmerman. Over a road rage incident. He was out on $35,000 bond. In Ohio, if he had just gone ahead and finished the job, somebody would have only had to post another, there's that math on the fly again, $65,000, and he could have been on the streets too. But no, he's back in jail because he was alleged to have violated his bond because he peed on a neighbor's front door. That'll get your bail revoked. So let that be a lesson to Ray Tenzing. While you're out there in your Tenzing trance, and I agree with Jack in Shreveport, when you're in a Tenzing trance, maybe what you need is a exorcism by lawnmower and cantaloupe. But if you're out there in your Tenzing trance, Ray, don't pee on your neighbor's door, or they may actually send you back to the stir, and you might actually have to spend, I don't know, maybe another whole day in jail. I need a vacation. I think I want to go somewhere where nobody's ever heard of Trayvon Martin or his murder. I want to go somewhere where people think that little teenage boys of color in the United States can just go to the store and get some Skittles and get an Arizona tea and come home and watch the game with Dad and not be gunned down by George Zimmerman on the way. But where is that on earth? Because I may be mistaken, but I think everybody in the parts of the planet that are paying attention knows what a brutal place this is. So I don't know how much luck I'd have in getting away. Maybe it's one of those chemical getaway moments. I don't know. It's a bit of a disturbing world in more places than here. By now, I'm sure you have heard about the Orthodox man in Israel who attacked the Jerusalem Gay Pride Parade. He stabbed 6 people at that parade, and it was just a few weeks after he'd been released from prison, having been in prison for a previous attack nearly identical to the one he just recently perpetrated. Haaretz reported on his appearance in court today. Yishai Schlissel, representing himself and thus having a fool for a client and an idiot for a lawyer, said, "I do not accept this court's authority. This court is part of the mechanism of evil. I have no interest in cooperating at all. I do not recognize any of the regime's institutions." Wonder if they might be able to find a nice kosher bunk for him out there at the Bundy Ranch. Because I think he'd fit right in, don't you? Yeah. A 17-year-old woman remains in serious condition. A 26-year-old man is stable. 4 others have light to moderate injuries. The brother Schlissel apparently has a thing about gay pride parades. Because, see, back in 2005, like I said, he did the same thing. Back in 2005, holy crap, that's a big hornet. You stay away from me and I'll stay away from you, okay? Thanks. Great. You have that in high summer here. Schlissel posted an internet message before the attack saying that it was and where have we heard this word before? Abomination for there to be a gay pride parade in the holy city. I guess the more blood that gets spilled in a place, the holier the place becomes. That would appear to be the lesson of Jerusalem. Naturally, a radio station interviewed him after he got out of prison, and he said, "The fight continues against those who defile God." There he is, God, the Almighty Creator of the universe, and can't prevent himself from being defiled. I know. I get lost, too. But apparently, while the Israelis are plenty tough on Palestinians, especially the ones who've done nothing wrong. I mean, if you want a country that can take an American-made precision-guided missile and put it, by God, right into a six-month-old's crib with the six-month-old in it, the Israelis are your folks. They can do that. But they can't keep an obviously bloodthirsty man off the streets and prevent him from taking a knife to a gay pride parade. Go figure. Maybe he's not perfect, just forgiven. You only get 10 years for knifing 3 people at a public event? Just 10 years. I mean, that's 3 1/3 years per knifing. Some homophobes are more equal than other homophobes, I guess. I wonder what Israel would have done with Dylan Roof. A whole different question. Then again, those poor Israelis, they live in the perpetual darkness of tyranny because they don't have a Second Amendment that allows them to just carry a gun around wherever they want to. Otherwise, Yishai Schlissel might have killed, and not just wounded or slashed or stabbed, but killed 6 or 7 or 12 or 50 gay pride marchers. And for that, goodness me, under the Israeli, what appears to be the Israeli legal system, he might have gotten another 11 years in prison. By the way, he's not out on bail. His detention has been extended for 12 days and nights, 12 days and nights, while they continue to investigate the knife attack. 12. But that's... Well, there's a sort of global flavor to that story. Mm-hmm. Because back here at home, Pastor, Reverend, Brother, Governor, Diabetes snake oil cure salesman Mike Huckstraby has some similar ideas about your abominations there. Everybody's covering what's going on in Iowa way. So naturally, the Topeka Capital Journal had a reporter out to discover the thoughts in the mind of Mike Huckstraby there at the Pizza Ranch in Jefferson, Iowa. No word on whether the Pizza Ranch would be willing to cater a gay wedding reception. But yesterday, the Reverend Pastor Governor's diabetes snake oil salesman said that if he gets to be president, he won't rule out sending in federal troops or maybe the FBI to stop abortions. The question came in an audience participation segment at the Pizza Ranch in Jefferson, Iowa. He said he would invoke the 5th and 14th Amendments for the protection of every human being. He said, would that be a huge controversy? Yes. I will not pretend there is nothing we can do to stop this, he said. Then in Rockwell City, Iowa, folks were following up. I think it was Matt Taibbi. Asked how he'd stop abortion, and would that mean using the FBI or federal forces? And he said, we'll see if I get to be president. I'll use all resources to protect U.S. citizens. Oh, really? Got to wonder if maybe Pastor, Reverend, Brother, Governor, Diabetes, Snake Oil Salesman Mike Huckstraby's been having a few chats with Yishai Schlissel. And I go back to what our buddy Harry said. On the one hand, this could be viewed as kind of funny. If you can sort it out. From the sheer potential terror of it. Because, see, a theocrat like Reverend Pastor Governor Mike Huckstraby ain't kidding. It's not a joke. He means it. We're talking about some real live, sure enough, I guess you'd call it Taliban-style theocracy. Only with Jesus. And, of course, who else? Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, he said that Jeb Bush is a sissy man for not standing up with Trump and Huckabee and saying that Barack Obama's Hitler. Wow. I apologize for the pauses. But as we get close to time for the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, I find myself having to do some gazintas and some ciphering. Courtesy of our buddy Ron. We're playing fun with international currencies now. And I somehow think that maybe, just maybe, possibly, the Queen of Hooterville might be part of this as well. Did you know that there are all kinds of different currencies all over the world? Yes, of course you did. Do you have any idea how much fun it is to make me convert them and then figure out what they are in dollars and cents? Now, you might recall that we were down to $430.06 in fundraising. Thank you to Lori for jumping right up and accepting Tony's challenge. Thank you, Lori, in Maine. Thank you very kindly. That took us down to, $380.06. Write that down. Okay. And then Haley took it down to $370.06. Thank you, Haley. And then Jay took it down to $345.06. And then Ron started started playing with international currencies. I'm proud to tell you that 1,425 yen are $11.20. Yeah, and so thanks to the, 1,425 yen, that got us down to $333.86 to go in fundraising this evening. I can also tell you that the that 45 Israeli new shekels is $11.50. Which takes us to $322.36. And there's smoke coming out of my ears. But wait. Uh-oh, I think I screwed up. $525 Philippine pesos. Oh, Oh, there's a little demon jumping up and down on the bellows, Ron. It can't get cold enough in Canada this winter to protect you. But 525 Philippine pesos takes us down to $311.16 to go in fundraising for this evening. Thank you, Ron. Thank you for the yen, the shekels, and the pesos. The help is definitely appreciated alongside everyone who's jumped in this evening, beginning this afternoon with Rob and Tony. Carol said, "You got nothing on me, copper. Dirty screws. Ah!" No, I think the case is definitely circumstantial, Carol. She says, "We're going to help you out, but we're going to make you work for it." Fair enough. Because my head is already hurting. But you know what? That's still pretty good. We've only got $311.16 to go. And we might just get there in the next 1 hour and 53 minutes. We can hope. So we will fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. And we will do that in short order via the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. And also by the stress line. If you can't work the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, you can go by the stress line. I haven't heard from Kevin in a while. I hope you're okay, Kevin. Horn 304-663 Horn 4676. So yeah, little break, just to get things ready and set up. This is listener-supported conversation radio for a Friday on the front porch. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is The Horn. Yeah.
I had Cadillacs in my future, debutantes in my past. I made a deal with the devil for a whole lot of money, thinking it would last and last. But a fool and his money are bound to part, and what goes up must come down. Take my advice, don't trust the roll of the dice. Keep your feet on solid ground. I used to have money one time, like Bluebird and Jericho. Tell a fool. Who's gonna tell a fool?
school. Listen to my story now. Though you have heard this tale before, take care of your knees and watch out for your greed, so that wolf will be at your door. I used to have money one time, life of adventure and crime. I used to have money one time, now I ain't got a dime. But who's gonna be the fool?
Minutes past the hour. There's a whole bunch of money songs out there, but I didn't want to do Pink Floyd, and the Beatles seemed a little, but that one worked. I used to have money one time from 1983's One Particular Harbor. Good God, 1983. Just a little baby 20-year-old college radio station DJ. It's Friday on the Front Porch. And by all means, let us run over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, moderated by Sparky. Hey, Sparky, you got the sound stuff sorted out now?
Yes, I do.
Are you on your Windows 10 machine?
Yes, I am.
And what, did it revert all of your sound settings or something?
No. It held my sound settings from last week when I dropped out of the late night group. Sometimes I will mute my sound with the little call quality information bar. You can turn your sound off. So I just leave the computer running. When people keep talking, and I go to sleep. So anyway, for a minute there, I thought it was Windows 10, but everything's fine with Windows 10 so far.
Cool. I still haven't gotten my notification, so.
Well, I think that the way it works is the first time you see that little notify when it said Get Windows 10.
Yeah.
In your taskbar. I mean, if you were clicked on it, you know, on the first day, you got it to the head of the line, because I guess there's millions and billions of computers that are upgrading all over the world.
Yeah, I figure their servers are probably near burning up.
But it took me about an hour and a half. I got a cable, 60 megabytes download speed cable, megabits per second or whatever you want. But it took an hour and a half, and once you restart it, it says we may have to restart several times, and it gives you little notifications, and then all of a sudden, boom, it says you're there.
Wow.
Welcome.
And so you've got a little start button and everything back now, right?
Well, you've got it's a Windows symbol up at the top corner. It's a taskbar. But when you open it up, you've got little apps and stuff in there, too, that you can use.
I'll be curious to see. One of the things that was really frustrating, for instance, and this is something you'd never know unless you saw the way things are set up here. One of the reasons, for instance, that people can, when they send me messages in Skype, I may not see them for a while is because I have to turn a full 45 degrees. No, wait. A full 90 degrees. My geometry is no better than my ciphering. I have to turn a full 90 degrees to see the Skype computer, because when we installed 8, well, way back in the day, before 8, you could use two different sound cards at one time on this machine. So the Skype line was coming through the onboard sound card, and the higher quality sound card was feeding the stream to the streaming machine. And I know we're way off in the weeds of inside baseball now, but when I loaded 8, Skype would not see anything but the sound card we use for streaming, which just made it a mess. Which meant that I had put a laptop on a table over here, and so I'm constantly swiveling back and forth between the two.
Okay.
There's probably a better way of doing it, but I haven't found it.
How are you using the Mac now?
The Mac is an entirely different thing, and it's running a second Skype line as a backup. And as soon as I have some time for tech work with Fox, the whole FireWire thing is going to come on board, and the machine that's running what is now Windows 8.1 it'll just go out of service.
But you're still going to update it to Windows 10, huh?
Oh yeah. I think I've come to the conclusion I've reached is that while the processor and the motherboard have 64-bit architecture, I'm running, what it boils down to is I'm running a 32-bit OS, because I don't even know if the 64 version was out way back. And so consequently, I'm stuck with it. But what I need to do, if this thing was going to really be useful going down the road, is upgrade to a 64-bit Windows system and add about 12 more gigs of RAM.
Well, anyway, when I got Windows 10 loaded, it remembered all my Windows 7 taskbar settings I had, and it just brought them right up to the taskbar, just like normal. So I don't even have to click on the start button. I can see my Firefox logo, Skype logo, and then it's got the new, Windows has a new browser on 10. It's called Microsoft Edge.
Yeah, I heard that IE was going away.
And that appears in your taskbar. And when you bring up the start page, I mean, since I've done one app with the weather app, and when I bring it up, it'll bring the temperature up where I live. I just have to set it when you first
and
put
so
it
the, on. And so the temperature in the man cave right now is like, what, a million?
No, it's cooler day. It's only... My little app says 99 degrees, but I was out on the man cave. It was only 90 degrees on the patio. And it was 111 yesterday, and that was hot. It was roasting.
That sounds pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But we're lucking out here so far. I think we've got 4 or 5 days of extremely low humidity, which is going to be bizarre for the beginning of August. It's nice, but everything's going to be out of whack. Ron in Canada noting, looks like Microsoft may have finally done something useful.
Well, they have another thing, a little notification deal down in your taskbar, where you can load your email onto that. And then you just hover it over it, and it'll tell you when you've got a new email.
Wow.
And it gives you, like, reports. It gives you, like, the stock market closing. And
I guess on the MacBook, we're going to be getting an OS X Yosemite Sam or something upgrade soon, so... you know, the ping pong ball battle between between those two corporate giants continues. Oh, and I have further thanks to extend. Thanks going out to Ralph's. For a little while there, we were dealing with nice little digits that ended in zeros. But no, we're back to the fun again. Thank you very kindly to Ralph's. We were at 311.16, and now we are. Let's see, 16 minus 7. No. We've got to, so 15. Yeah. 16 minus 7. 89. 285.89 is where we stand now.
Oh, and I got a little calculator app that I can float over the chat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So anytime you need a calculator, just
give me the numbers. I'm trying to do this stuff in my head.
And I also got a special challenge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if the Horn family will fill the hole tonight, I'll do a habit show for Monday so we can get August off to a good start.
Beautiful.
Sound good?
That sounds so. Basically, you're coming very close to just doubling what remains. We're at 285.89.
Yeah, but you got to close the hole.
Yeah, no, we've got to fill in the hole. And if everybody fills in the hole, 285.89, then you'll stomp on the hole and get us started for Monday, August the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
So we start out with no hole.
Precisely. And believe you me, well, one of these days we'll get caught up. Maybe, I guess, I hope. But it would be very helpful. Thank you very much, Sparky. That's very kind.
Well, it's my pension payday today.
Ah. Let's see. So that's $28.58 for 10 people, or 10 people at, or 28.6 people at $10. It's easy to get lost when you've got the digits hanging out there on the right side of the decimal point. You know what I mean?
What's the hole?
285.89.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Rick.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in.
Cool. How many people have to contribute 666 in order to fill the hole tonight?
I can't do that. Now quit it. Oh, Jesus. Wait a minute. Forty-some people.
Okay.
42.92642.64.
Oh, yeah.
How many yuan does it take to fill the hole, Bob? Do you know?
No, but there's somebody else in this chat that's probably examining that right now.
Don't we have a friend from China? Is it Steve from China?
That's Steve in China.
Yeah. I shouldn't give him any ideas.
Oh, Ron's got plenty as it is. I mean, as noted, I've already dealt this evening with the yen, the Israeli new shekel, and the Filipino peso.
Oh, my goodness.
No rupees yet. No rubles either.
Did anybody... I heard Carol talking about, was it Krugers last night or something like
Krugerrands,
that?
Krugerrands, yeah.
Those are hard to find. Those are very valuable, actually.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Like the gold.
Yes.
I think.
One troy ounce, I do believe.
Yeah. I used to be a coin collector. I remember those. That was like the...
Although I think if you tune into Right Wing Radio, they've got a surfeit of them, and you can buy gold now because there's never been a better time to buy gold. Gold's your best hedge against inflation. Buy dear and sell cheap, you rubes. Right? Isn't that how the ad goes?
Pretty. I don't know. I don't listen to right wing stuff. I find it's not good for my brain. It sort of has the same effect as those amoebas do on my brain.
Oh, maybe. You know what? If you put them under a microscope, maybe they all look like little Limbaughs and Becks and Alex Jones.
There you go.
Oh. Hey, Bob. Since you were talking about Thailand last night,
yes.
Since I was there 41 years ago, I had to look up the exchange rate.
Yes.
Boy, has it crashed. When I was there in 1974, it was like 20 baht to the dollar. Now it's like 0.02 cents to the dollar. So you take over 10,000 baht or so, some make up your whole.
Sounds like a great time to go. But then again, I think that's because they're having an economic crisis. They're under dictatorship. And what do you say about a country that needs 50,000 slave laborers to run its maritime fishing fleet? Capitalism, maritime fishing fleet, of course. I guess all fishing fleets would be maritime, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Friday, man. Got me some slack. But yeah, okay. they've got terrible problems in Thailand right now, last I checked. Democracy's, any notion of it, is pretty much, well, gone.
Well, it was scary when I was there. Before I went on my R&R to Bangkok, they shot up the town.
Don't they basically have two armed groups that are bitter opponents of each other?
Yeah, the government and everybody else.
Yeah.
Sparky, I thought you were going to say they shot you up with penicillin.
No. We went on a tour around Bangkok, and we went to the site where they had these riots and where the army had shot up a bunch of people, and you could see the bullet holes in all the monuments. Just a few months before we went up there. We couldn't even go there then. They shut it down, but then it was clear, so we were able to go to Bangkok again.
Well, let me ask Rick, since you've jumped in already, any big news out of MacArthur Park or the dating scene or excellent little sushi restaurants or anything just to perk my little hillbilly existence up a little bit?
Yeah, I can probably give you some stories. I guess the cake has still not been found yet in MacArthur Park. I'm still searching for that, sort of like I'm searching for Godot as well. Or waiting for Godot. I went to a really cool place in downtown L.A. called the Edison on Wednesday night. And it's a old power plant. It's like the original power plant from L.A. And, that used to serve like the well-to-do people that lived on Bunker Hill when there were mansions up there. And just kind of a real cool place. It's kind of got like an Art Deco feel to it. It's probably well over 100 years old. They show old movies from like back in 1908 on the screen, and they have music and dancing and sofas and so forth. If you want to relax, it's a really cool place. It's kind of like in a basement. You know, you take stairs to go down there, and then there's these pillars that, you know, from the power plant that are still there, and you know, all sorts of memorabilia from the power plants. It was actually a lot of fun. I had a first date there on Wednesday night. That was a lot of fun, and we're going out tonight as well to a different restaurant tonight. So let's say no concerts to speak of. Although I am going to I'm going out Saturday night to a concert at the LA Arboretum. It's like an open air concert where, you know, it's going to be like there's going to be a Philharmonic playing, and there's going to be a vocalist who's going to sing a lot of Sinatra songs. So, not exactly my favorite music, but, you know, if you're talented and good at what you do, you know.
Yeah.
Anything but rap.
Or around here, you know, on key.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. 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 And then
the Flattened Mountain Boys play the greatest hits. Oh, Frank Sinatra.
Sinatra, yeah. Those Italians. So that should be fun. I've been there once before. It's just kind of a nice place to kind of relax. So my date is actually, I got the tickets, and she's going to provide all the food and stuff, and I'll probably bring a couple of craft beers. And, you know, so we'll just kind of sit out there on the lawn chairs or on the lawn, whatever, and just kind of hang out and you know, have a good time. And then last night I went to a get together, like a happy hour. A former client of mine who has finally obtained his freedom from supervised release. He got out of jail. He served like a year and a day, not quite, actually more like 10 3/4 months, and he's now a free man, except he has this little restitution obligation of about $1 million. But other than that, yeah, hey, you know.
Has he got it? Everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I actually helped to prevent his deportation, though, because he was facing evasion of payment. So tax evasion is automatically deportable offense. And I persuaded the government to charge him with a different felony. And so his immigration lawyer was able to argue that, you know, hey, you shouldn't be deported for this because, you know, it's not. You know, it's not evasion, and you know, it's not necessarily a crime involving fraud or deceit with a loss of $10,000 or more. So he's still in the country. He's a UK citizen, and we tried to do a quickie immigration application while his case was you know, before he was sentenced, and it didn't work. But you know, he's still here, so that's a good thing. So it was good to see him again.
Excellent. Excellent.
I
love these tales from the Naked City.
Right, right. I'm trying to remember the author. Was that Philip Dick or something like that, or?
I don't know. You think about Philip Marlowe, Raymond Chandler?
No, there was a guy. There was a sort of like that, but there was a. I think a.
Well, there's Naked Lunch, and that's William S.
Philip
Burroughs.
K. Dick, I think, was the guy. He was like a detective, or he was a crime writer.
No. Philip K. Dick was a science fiction writer. He's the man who gave us Do Robots Dream of Electric Sheep, which was the basis of Blade Runner. I think you're thinking of Raymond Chandler, who gave us the detective Philip Marlowe.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. Well, they're actually quite a bit different, those two authors, you know?
Yeah. True. Although Ron can probably confirm that there is a definite nexus between between Raymond Chandler and Richard K. Morgan.
I can certainly vouch for that.
Yep, definitely.
I still haven't had a chance to do any more traveling. That's where I'm going to be doing most of my reading, but I've got the books in stock.
Oh, so you've got Broken Angels?
Yep.
You'll love it.
Well, the next time I go to the sandbox, it's going to be my reading.
Oh, yeah, and I was surprised in amongst all the I was surprised there wasn't a one of those. But I don't want to inspire you or anything.
You don't know how inspired I was, but then my big disappointment was discovering how limited I was in terms of the currencies PayPal would actually send to a U.S. client.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. You're one lucky dude.
I consider myself that way, yes. Oh, and by the way, speaking of concerts, I saw Tim from L.A. celebrating in the chat room the other last night that he was off to a Rush concert. Is that tomorrow? Is that tonight, or is that elsewhere?
I think that was last night. It's either tonight or last night. I'm not sure. Maybe it's tonight, actually. Yeah, it's tonight, I think. Yeah, it's in the L.A. area.
Tim had already begun to vibrate.
Okay. Well, good for him. Good for him. I saw that, speaking of Rush, I saw that, you know, during the, I guess one of Geddy Lee, the lead singer for Rush, is one of his good buddies, is Randy Johnson, who just got into the Hall of Fame last weekend. So
really? I didn't know they were pals.
Yeah, there was a spot on... you know, there was like an hour-long program of, you know, each of the Hall of Fame inductees, and they were interviewing, you know, Randy Johnson, and they showed the pitch where he threw the ball and he hit a bird as it was flying by. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
Just a bunch of feathers were just all over the place.
Yeah. he threw hard.
Yeah. They interviewed Geddy Lee. I guess what Randy Johnson does now is he's taken up photography. He majored in that when he was a student at USC, and he photographs like rock bands and, you know, all sorts of events, races, you name it. So I guess he's good buddies with Geddy Lee. They're probably both libertarians, is my guess. I know Geddy Lee.
You know, that's an ongoing debate or discussion or has been inside the Horn community, just what kind of libertarians Rush are? Because Neil Peart has said some things here and there, and then he kind of backs away, and I don't know. I just try to enjoy the music.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just
gotta... It's like Neil Young says he's a libertarian, and yet at the same time he's a Bernie guy.
Yeah.
Go figure. Maybe right. Maybe Canadian libertarians are different from the weirdos down here.
You know, you might be right. You might be right. You know, a phrase that Norman has kind of created is trans-political. You know, he's basically, you know, he's one of these guys who doesn't like the labels like liberal, conservative, progressive. I mean, what the hell does that mean? And so you basically unite according to what the issues are and whatever's good for, you know, the American people, the vast mass of the American people. And, you know, you just call yourself a, you know, patriotic, good American, basically, you know? And so, I mean, there are certain issues, like, for example, the criminal justice reform issue, which the, you know, conservatives have actually united with the, you know, the liberals or progressives. And so rather than get hung up on the labels, sometimes maybe it's just better to, you know, just focus on what you have in common, and then you just agree to disagree with whatever you disagree on.
You know, that's the way it used to kind of work.
Right.
But look at the highway bill that the House passed on the way out the door to their August recess.
Yeah.
I don't know what the roads are like in L.A., but I'm guessing y'all probably need more than a 3-month extension of the highway funds.
Yeah, I think the highways are still going to be effed up in 3 months, you know.
Yeah, but that's all we can get. And
I know.
And in the days of once upon a time, the great compromisers would come together and you'd get a 5-year highway bill.
Right.
And nobody would get exactly what they wanted, but everybody would have something that they could take home to Porkville and say, "See what I done for you."
Yeah, well, you kind of wonder if maybe this is part of the strategy of the, you know, corporations to just let our infrastructure just kind of go to pot because, you know, they've given up on America and they don't want us to fund ourselves anymore.
Well,
and so the problems go along.
One of the problems with, like, the highway bill is if highway or really get into repair, it's a 2 to 3 year window. I mean, right down now in Willits, they're building a bypass in Willits, and it's a 5-year project to build the highway. But if you don't have the funding coming down the road, you can't do the engineering work, you can't find the contractors, you can't do anything. A 3-month extension only keeps existing jobs going. It doesn't rebuild the infrastructure down the road.
Well, it's no way to run a country. To run it based on, you know, 6-month extensions, 3-month extensions. I mean, that's all Congress has been able to agree on lately, you know?
And see, this is a function of the anti-government insurgency that is the Republican Party, okay? They don't like the idea of government. They don't want government. They want something approaching a sort of libertarian chaos. And this is the best way for them to get it.
Well, their model is Somalia, you know, the Libertarian Republic of Somalia. What a wonderful place to be, right? Except I wouldn't want to be there.
Yeah, well, with cable. I mean, I've said that for years. That's the goal, is Haiti with cable.
Right. Right, there you go. Crazy.
Well, thank you very kindly to Devin. We have a new currency to add. And this has never happened on the Horn before. We have just received 666 rubles. Yes. I'll tell people what that is as soon as I figure it out.
Okay, I'll jump in a little bit on that one. If Sparky gets tapped for what he asked to do, I'll put in 3,823.44 Peruvian Nuevo Soles.
Okay, I got to write that down. 3,823.44 Peruvian...
New Soles.
New Soles.
Yeah. Okay. But that's only if Sparky gets tapped.
Right. That, in other words, we have to raise $275.42 more because 666 rubles is $10.47. Ha! So, yeah, 275.42 is what we have to go. And then if that gets met, Sparky kicks in a have a show on me for Monday, and that then lights up Roger for 3,823.44
Peruvian souls.
Yes.
Now, souls, you're talking about like actual souls as opposed to coins, right, Roger?
No,
Sole is the denomination, like dollars or rubles or yen or...
It's just a play on words on my...
No. I understand, but that would be... You'd have to use souls. Rick, we would have to be collecting money under the rubric of the ancient Mexica god Huitzilopochtli.
There you go. And you have to sign a contract as well.
And that's only measurable in cacao beans.
Oh, jeez.
And by the way, the answer to the, according to Ron, the answer to the Canadian libertarian question is we have a population of 33 million in Canada, and only about 3 million of them are assholes. So that, you know, that there's not quite as much, potential. And even the assholes are polite, right, Ron?
Absolutely. Fuck you very much.
Right. Pardon me. Screw you. Right. Well, Roger, before I go anywhere else in the larger conversation, squash update, please.
You haven't caught the pictures. I posted them to Facebook and a share number.
No, they didn't. They didn't show. I'll go and look now.
Okay. Well, I did a share. My wife came out with me yesterday, and we took pictures, and she built this nice little page and put it on my page, and then I did a share and passed it off to you. The longest vine is a little over 15 feet.
God almighty.
And I haven't picked it, but the squash, the biggest squash that's still there, looks like it's running around at 3 to 5 pounds, and they're growing great.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. Wow. That's just, good God. They're taking the place, Roger.
Well, there are four plants there because you sent me four seeds.
Yeah.
And when I planted them, each hill that's there is one plant. So all that green stuff you're looking at is four plants down the row. And I've twisted the vines to where they all go out to the south. And that's what they're doing.
That's amazing. So how long before we can get a gastronomical report?
Well, they're a winter squash, so I got to wait for them to get a little further. But my wife was asking me about going and getting an immature one and cooking it up like a summer squash, and haven't done it yet, and my niece commented on it. She says, what do they test like? And we went, I don't know, but maybe next week I'll go out and give it a try and give you an update next Friday. But my wife was just really super nice and built that page for me today, and I got to share it.
Oh, they're gorgeous. They are really, really gorgeous. And I don't know what I was expecting, but that's a brilliant, almost lemon yellow color.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a pretty lemon yellow color, but I haven't cut any of them off, haven't sliced them open or anything else. I'm just letting them go. But that's what an old cow pasture and recycled potting soil will produce with. And if anybody wants to share it around further than what it is, I got no problems with that. Because when my wife and I were building that page, I gave her all the information about, you know, that it came out of the archaeological dig, blah, 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 blah. And I'm happy for it to go out because I'm not planning on making buck off of it. I'm just planning on growing it and selling it as a unique veggie when I go to my farmer's markets.
Where can I find it? I'm looking all over Facebook. I can't find it.
Try Roger Smith.
Worked for me.
I don't have it.
Well, I think my... Well, you and I aren't friends on Facebook, but I think my page is open enough to where you ought to be able to see my page.
I see your page. Yeah, you're right. I got to add you as a friend.
But it's on my page, and then I shared it. So I think to all my friends, and Bob's one of my friends.
Oh, I didn't see it on Bob's page. Did you do it yesterday?
No, I did today.
Oh.
About 2 hours ago. While I was getting, I'm picking for market tomorrow, and in between everything else, I did it and did a share. Setting up for now so that Bob would be able to see the update.
No, I'm totally psyched. I'm just stoked.
But anyway, just go look for Roger Smith on Facebook.
I got it. I just sent you an ad for a friend, but I can't find it on Bob's page either.
Yeah, it didn't land on me. That's the thing. But I went to your page and it was right there.
Roger Smith is a common name. Is there anything that's more specific that I could type in, Roger?
Oh, man, I don't know. Try McKinleyville, California.
Oh, there.
Yeah, I'll agree. Roger Smith is a common name. And no, I'm not married to Ann Margaret.
Really? Too bad.
Oh, I thought you were that Roger Smith. Oh, well. That's okay.
No, and I don't own General Motors either, so.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, me and Roger, yeah. Yeah, nothing's popping up for me, huh?
I'm just a poor dude living in Northern California whose solar watering system took a shit last week and I had to spend $1,300 on new batteries.
Oh, no. So the batteries just crapped out?
Well, two of them crapped out, and it was bad cabling, and it was one of those multiple problems, and you'd fix one thing, and then there's something else, and then something else, and something else, and you chase it all down, and finally, after spending way more money than you want to, it's all fixed again. See, my whole garden, basically my whole garden is watered off solar power. And I know it's not economical, but it's what I want to do.
It sounds like every damn plumbing job I've ever been involved with.
Yeah, well, plumbing is another one that I hate plumbing because no matter what you start with, you end up having to fix 9,000 other things. Electrical I'm usually pretty good at and not getting caught in that crap, but this one I got caught. Hi, Larry.
Was it a corrosion issue?
Oh, the battery cables, yeah, corrosion on the battery cables, and then it's a 10 6-volt deep cycle battery pack, and two of the 6 volts crapped out, you know, that were in the line, and so they weren't charging, and then the cables were bad, and blah 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 blah.
Are you going to rebuild the batteries or just put new ones in?
Oh, new. I can't rebuild the battery.
Oh, there's places that rebuild 6-volt rechargeable batteries. You can,
I mean, these are the golf cart deep cycle, bigger than a car battery, lead acid numbers. And so I just bought 10 new ones, and turns out 8 of the old ones are still good, so they're all wired in. So now I have an 18-pack instead of a 10-pack. I used to have a 20-pack, but anyhow, that's another long story we don't need to get into.
You might want to look into battery rebuilding. There are outfits out there that make most of their money off of rebuilding battery packs for the old NiCad batteries for DeWalt drills and stuff. But I think there might be some alternatives out there that would save you some money.
Yeah, well,
Got visited by two big grand dogs, golden retrievers, so I'm going to go mute here for a moment until they stop whining at me.
Well, so far they're not coming through, but go ahead.
Regarding the battery number, I've been doing this for over 15 years now, 17 years, and this is my third recycle number. So it's not that bad. It's just a big sting when it hits. But after that, all of a sudden, I don't have to pay any money at all to irrigate the acre garden. It just, the sunshine does it.
And I just think that's a beautiful thing.
Now, I don't have high pressure water or anything like that, but I can, turn the pump on and leave it on overnight and fill my 1,200 gallon tank and then distribute it out through the drip lines and all the rest of it. I mean, it's a maintenance watering system that just works great. And I love it. It's low pressure. I'm not blowing out my drip irrigation lines or anything like that. The water's nice and clean. And
I'll bet there's no brain-eating amoeba in it either.
Well, no, there's no brain-eating amoeba, but when I took it's the old house well that I'm no longer on the house on that well, but it's the original house well, hand-dug, 4-foot casing, you know, kind of number. And when I took it in to get it tested, it does have the E. coli in it, but it doesn't have the human E. coli. It has the snail and frog and, you know, the kind of stuff you get out of creeks. Yeah, it's perfectly drinkable. It's just doesn't meet the standards. But, no, it's a great system, and it works great. And with the drip line, I can be out working in the garden at the same time I'm watering and be weeding down the row, and the drip tape is putting the water out right down at the roots of the plant, and I can go out and pick and all the rest of it while the garden's watering. I'm not dancing around a sprinkler. I guess one of these days I ought to take some pictures of how the farm looks and put them up so people can see what I'm talking about.
Oh, I think it's, well, it sounds like, it smells like the future to me.
Oh, it definitely is. And the Israelis are the ones who have really pioneered drip irrigation, because Israel is really hurting for water. And I mean, this flood irrigation that's used over in the San Joaquin-Sacramento Valley is totally water wasteful. But if you go down and you start looking now and you go out and see the almond and pistachio orchards and all that, you see all these black plastic pipes with little tiny pipes coming off of it. I mean, talking quarter-inch big pipe, the plastic tubing. The heavy water consumption crops are clearly switching over to drip irrigation. And with the drought here in California, anybody who got involved in drip irrigation 2 or 3 years ago is really making good money now, because everybody wants to go to it, because it is the one way to save. And, you know, you can still water your crops and keep them all going, but you lose nothing to evaporation, and it's super efficient. I mean, come on, I've only got 420-watt solar panels, and I can irrigate an acre of garden off of 480-watt solar panels.
That's mind-boggling. I mean, it makes me... We've still got, and I've described this in the past, but once upon a time here, when this house was first built and there were a lot of outbuildings and everything, every outbuilding was guttered, and all the gutters ran to a cistern. And it was a gravity-fed affair, so there was one that was 6 feet tall above the ground and another one that was 6 feet deep below the ground. And it just, you know, it just pushed it through the pipes into the sink. You know, it wasn't used for drinking water, but it was used for, you know, washing machines and washing dishes and that kind of stuff. You know, a little bleach will fix things up, you know, as far as any possible pathogens. But it makes me wonder, God, in a place that gets plenty of rain, what couldn't you do with something like that?
Well, the cistern system is good. I'm not knocking it. But here, the well is the way to go. But, I mean, the pump that's down in the well is a $35 AC sump pump from Ace Hardware that pumps up into a 1,200-gallon tank that sits on the ground. And then I've got an aquarium-type, waterfall-type pump that distributes it out to the drip lines. And at this, even though we're in the middle of the drought and the water table's down about, I don't know, 15, 18 feet in the well, that sump pump is still pumping up into the 1,200-gallon tank. And I'm not running out of water. It's, you know, it's just, I got plenty of water. Now, if I really get desperate, the creek's still running, and I could run a half-inch line down from the creek to the well and fill the well up out of the creek, but I don't want to contaminate my well with creek water. Oh, Sparky, it got hotter than hell over here the other day. It got up to 80 degrees, and everybody was dying.
Oh, taunting. Sorry. There's going to be a flag. There's going to be a flag on that, Roger.
I don't know what the humidity was, but everybody over here was dying.
I know. You guys don't. I mean, because everybody in Redding used to go over to the coast to get out of the heat.
Oh, yeah. When I used to sell at Trinidad Farmers Market, it was, you know, every weekend it was, oh, you're from Redding. Yeah, we came over here to get cool. Man, it's hot. Oh, no, it's not hot. You ought to go to Redding. You know, and that was when the temperature was 70, 75.
Well, it was 114 in Redding yesterday and 111 here.
Yeah. 111?
Mm-hmm.
My God, Red Bluff was cooler than Redding?
Yeah, that happens a lot.
I thought that
Redding
was rare.
Redding sits in that bowl, and when the inversion, it gets an inversion layer, and it just holds the heat in.
I thought Red Bluff was the one that was always hotter than Redding.
Well, once in a while, we build a beat them, but not this week.
I got another picture I took today that I'll try to get posted to Facebook, and that was one of the Forest Service firefighting helicopters came flying over my house a little while ago, and I got a picture of it.
Are they looking for water?
No, I think they were probably coming up to refuel or something like that. Because we've got a bunch of fires going over here, too. And, you know, it's, I mean, the airport is, I don't know, half a mile from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you know, I see the Coast Guard all the time and the cops looking for marijuana plants all the time. But this is the first time I've seen one of the Forest Service painted red firefighting helicopters dangling the cable from underneath it. I guess they got rid of their bucket somewhere else, but it's one of those scooper helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
And they flew in, and they were on the ground for about a half hour, then I heard them fly out. So I think they just came up to refuel and headed back out.
Well, I know when my sister, brother and sister-in-law, I mean my brother-in-law's sister had a ranch over in Rough and Ruddy. They had a pond. And they had a fire there, and CDF helicopters would just swoop in and just lower the bucket right in their pond, take the water, and fly away.
Yeah.
You couldn't say a damn thing about it.
No, when there's a fire coming, the CDF, whoever, they'll get water from wherever they can. I mean, they dip in a river that you're not allowed to fish in, and who knows how many fish they scoop up when they scoop it up, mm-hmm. and then they just dump it on the fire. And they go for water wherever they can find it.
Yeah, in 2008, when we had the Motion Fire, that was right just west of Reading there, and we could see it from this. We were right on the river from this new office building we were building. The CDF helicopter fly right over to, I mean, it's where they call it Lake Reading kind of area, where below the Sundell Bridge. It was big and wide there. The CDF helicopter was coming in, lifting right out of there.
Hmm.
There was a lot of smoke in the air the other day. When it gets over 100 in the valley, and then there's forest fire smoke, it just kind of stays here. It makes the valley seem really yucky.
Well, I'm going to go back to listening on my smartphone, because I still need to pick the rhubarb and finish loading the trailer and all the rest of that stuff to get ready for going to market tomorrow morning. So anyhow, I gave the squash update. I've done my stuff, and I'm going to sign out of here and just go back to work outside. So,
all right. Well, I'll give you a holler on those Peruvian new soles if we can bring down the next $275.42. And then
well, I'm wondering, did anybody go check the currency converter to find out what that is?
No. I'm doing that now. I had to go and check out Icelandic krona a minute ago.
Who started this, Ron?
It evolved out of the dollars and cents and making me do gazettas and ciphering on the fly.
Jesus. Thank you, Horn family.
Anyhow, I'm out of here.
Yeah, thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
All right, see you, Roger.
See you, Roger. Hi, Roger.
3,823.44 Peruvian new soles. That can't be. That can't be, Roger. Maybe he meant 382, because that's $1,200.
Well, you're good for the next week then, at that rate, Bob.
Well, that would knock down the week.
No, I think he was just trying to match my $200.
Well, he said 3,823.44 Peruvian new soles. That can't be right. Roger made a mistake somewhere.
Well, I'm just telling you what he asked me in the chat.
What is the conversion rate, Bob, for a new sole?
I got no idea, but I'm just I'm cheating right now. They don't give you a rate. You just plug in what it is and.
Ron, you're buzzing.
Let's do it in the other direction.
Okay, I've got it here. One Peruvian nuevo sol equals 0.31 of the U.S. dollar, so it's one sole equals 31 cents.
Okay, so, that can't be right. Nuevo sol convert. No, and 200 U.S. dollars would be 637.24.
Hmm.
So I'm get. I don't know. I think maybe the wrong number got punched in or something, because it sounds when Roger was describing his solar re-battery and reline and all of that. That would have been the 3,824.44 Peruvian new soles.
Yeah, yeah, it's about $1,203 at the rate of 31 cents for one Peruvian nuevo sole.
Yeah.
So you're right, Bob, that's about $1,200. So I guess it's time to send Roger the bill, huh?
No. No, I will be thrilled to pieces if we can just meet Sparky's challenge and bring in the 275.42. But still, bringing in the 275.42 brings in another 200 and something from Roger. So hopefully there are 28 people at $10 a piece in the Horn Family Commune congregation who will find that to be sufficient incentive. Would be nice.
Hey, Ron, it sounds like you got a Tesla coil going.
All right, unmute, Ron.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
Oh, dear, that thing, Ron, that thing is back.
Hi.
maybe reboot?
Did I lose everybody?
I'm here.
No, we're here.
Okay. Still. Haley's still here?
Yeah, we haven't heard from Haley. Hey, Haley.
Oh, it's been a while since I've been in here on Friday nights. Usually I've been last few weeks I've been at work, and about a month ago I was went to bed early and went out of town on a Saturday and listened to y'all on the podcast to en route to Fayetteville from the previous evening.
Welcome aboard. Glad to have you back.
Everything's fine. Just the usual craziness going on here in Arkansas. Not unusual, but things just happen. Huckster B is, of course, he's getting crazier by the minute. His latest screed was on invoking bringing troops in to prevent abortions.
What's up with your damn senator, the junior senator?
Tom Cotton?
Yeah, I said somebody said the press conference yesterday. Oh, what's his, the spokesman calling the man a mystery? Something he said he went to Europe and found some kind of secret thing about the Iran deal or something.
I don't claim him as my senator. He is a nut.
Well, he is. I mean, he's a Lulu.
He's absolute nut.
He's one of those little square knot admirals that thinks that because he served out a military contract, he deserves to be, I don't know, Marshal Foch.
And he got elected last year because of all the coattails from the current love affair that Arkansas has now had gotten with the GOP because of the usurper.
Yeah, you can get those at 7-Eleven now, the big slurp. Everybody there?
Yes. yes, I'm here.
No, but no, Tom, I was on Facebook earlier today, and I saw somebody's out there spending, and I think we probably know who it is now, don't we? Spending a buttload of money doing targeted messaging to everybody who has a senator or a member of the House who has so much as mentioned that maybe Barack Obama isn't Hitler, to tell your senator we need a better deal, not to sign on blah, 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 terrorism, frisbees, wheat checks, the end of civilization as we know it. And I got one in my feed today directed to Joe Manchin. So, because I'm a contrarian, I jumped on there and I said, well, good for you, Joe. You're behaving like a statesman in supporting this deal. I'm actually proud of you. Thank you. Thank you for supporting an agreement that will help prevent lots of West Virginia children from going off and fighting and perhaps dying in another misadventure in the desert.
Any response to that yet, Bob?
I got a couple of likes on my comment, but I'm sure the folks who paid to put that out there is the last thing they wanted to hear.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
I put out a request for a thanks, Obama, from Gerald, and he kindly obliged me.
Yeah, well, that was due. Yeah, there it is. I said, well, okay, so it's the American Security Initiative. And the Iran deal is bad for West Virginia. It's bad for America. Call Senator Manchin today.
Yeah, I guess typical AstroTurf. I mean, they try to create like a phony movement from the grassroots, you know, but it's all funded, you know, from the top, kind of like the Tea Party was funded by, you know, the billionaires, basically, you know. Just total AstroTurf. But they use, you know, they use really patriotic-sounding names like, you know, Americans for America.
You know, exactly.
Things like that, you know. I mean, who could disagree with that, you know? America loves cats. Americans for cats, or, you know. What have you. By the way, no cats were harmed in the recording of the front porch, I think, last week when I was at home? And
it was 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah, you had cats on the stove.
That was just a
disturbing image.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, Bob, I'm back.
And
I'm buzzing.
The buzz, it's still there.
Pardon me?
The buzzing is still there.
Okay, I'm going. Bye.
Well, keep trying.
So, has it been hot for you lately in West Virginia, Bob, or not?
We went through a phase of some just brutal temperatures and uglier humidity. It's lovely now, which it should not be. It should be stinking miserable outside.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It hasn't been too bad here in Los Angeles, actually. My air conditioning broke, or my thermostat broke, 3 weeks ago, and I haven't had to repair it yet, so, you know. Because it hasn't really gotten unbearably hot. You know, we get really cool nights in California, which I guess would be down to, low humidity with maybe a low of maybe 67 or so. So it's just ideal, you know. But we're spoiled here in Southern Cal anyway. I know that Sparky probably doesn't get nearly that cool up there where you are.
No, but it's the coming week, I see the prediction, it'll get down to 64.
Oh, that's good.
But I mean, it cooled down the other night. It was 75 when we were out about 10, 11 o'clock looking at the full moon.
Yeah.
My stepson was down the other day. He had to make a trip to San Francisco because the VA is going to do something for him down there, an operation on him. And he hated it. But luckily he rented a small rental car to go down there because his vehicle's a big Dodge four-wheel drive pickup, you know, with diesel. And that would have been like crazy in San Francisco to get around with.
Oh, yeah.
They would run you out of town.
Oh, by the way, speaking of heat, though, Devin just shared this with me. For all of the... You know my feeling about war with Iran. I want everybody who votes for it to go fight in it first, and then the rest of us will be right behind them, and all the senators' sons and all the senators' daughters, and all of AIPAC's sons and daughters, and all the corporations that will profit by it, their sons and daughters, them first, and they're going to love it, too, because it just happens that the hottest place on Earth right now is a little place called Bandar Mashar, Iran, where today's high temperature was, about 154 degrees.
I saw one on the Windows thing. It said it was 100, heat index 164. Oh, here we go. I just bring up the story. Iranian city hits world record temps that feel like 163 degrees.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't think we've got a sunscreen for that.
That really surprises me, because for a very long time, Death Valley held the world temperature high of like something like 129 degrees or something that was set like years ago, but obviously that's been busted totally, you know?
It says, while the temperature was only 115 degrees, the dew point was an unfathomable 90 degrees. Mm. On Thursday, the Iranian city of about 100,000 reached a heat index of 154 degrees. Mm. The combination of heat and humidity measured by the dew point is what makes the heat index, or what the temperature actually feels like outside.
Wow. Wow. Hmm.
A strong ridge of high pressure has persisted over the Middle East through much of July, resulting in the extreme heat wave, what many would consider one of the hottest places in the world. Baghdad sweltered to its all-time record high on Thursday when temperatures soared to 124 degrees.
Wow.
AccuWeather reported.
You know, there is some precedent in ancient history for great big misled, misdirected empires marching off into Persia and never coming back. I think Rome referred to them as the Lost Legions. And, of course, it was a Persian. It was a Persian king, I believe. Although by then they were referred to as the Parthians, who captured Caesar's good buddy, Marcus Licinius Crassus, who was at the time the richest man in the world. I mean, he had a fortune that if you convert it to modern dollars, is just breathtaking in its scope. And he thought that because he was rich, that also made him a military genius, because he had been successful in putting down the Spartacus Rebellion, in which he crucified a few thousand former slaves who had held the empire in, well, the Republic at the time, in absolute terror, and he thought whipping some slaves was the same thing as whipping the Parthians. And he marched off into the sands, and they captured him. And it just so happened that they had a lot of gold sitting by, which was why he wanted to invade them in the first place. remember, there's going to be there's a monetary aspect to this desire for war, and well, when they captured Marcus Licinius Crassus, they knew that he had a his lust for wealth was well known, and so they heated up the forge. And they melted down a bunch of gold. It actually didn't take that much. But they weren't sure because you could never tell how much gold it would take to satisfy Marcus Licinius Crassus. But when they got him on his knees or laid him on his back and they jacked his mouth open and started to pour the molten liquid gold down his throat, you know, he didn't want so much gold. It didn't take very much at all to satisfy him. Satisfied him right to death.
Oh, jeez.
Let's see. Wealth. Let me see if I can.
That's definitely a very creative punishment, you know?
Well, I mean, it fitting, too.
For him, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Died in 53 BCE, aged 62 at Carrhae in the Parthian Empire.
So his army was probably captured as well, I imagine, huh, Bob?
It didn't work out. I'm trying to find here, see if the wiki has. I'm just curious because I read the number once and it was breathtaking.
Who are we talking about? Which ruler?
Not a ruler. He was consul at one point. He was consul with Pompey, Marcus Licinius Crassus.
I think Trump is related to him, Bob.
I think in spirit, if not.
Yes. Or T-Rump, I think, as we call him on this show.
He was so rich that in 70 BCE, he put on a festival in Rome that featured 10,000 tables and so much grain that every family in Rome ate for 3 months.
Wow. Ugh.
And he didn't even feel it.
Ugh.
He's the one who originally backed Caesar. Because Caesar was in terrible, terrible financial straits, and he said, "I'll write it. I'll write it down."
Michael Parenti, I have the book. Michael Parenti wanted me to read a book.
Oh, The Assassination of Julius Caesar.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lovely thin little book. There's not a lot to work with there, but Parenti turns things on their side and tries to look at them from a different direction, and you come up with a pretty astonishing picture.
Okay.
Oh, okay. There he is. Crassus's wealth is estimated by Pliny at approximately 200 million sesterce. Plutarch says it increased from less than 300 talents at first to 7,100 talents. In modern, and that was, of course, in silver and gold, he was worth 7,100 talents right before he marched off on the Parthian disaster. And that translates to $8.4 billion. And Plutarch goes on to say he got that by fire and rapine, making his advantage of public calamities. Yeah. Oh, and I'm happy to announce... very happy to announce that we've just knocked the number down a little further. Randy has just taken our fundraising goal down to $225.42. $225.42. And that means we only need 22.5 people at $10 apiece to kick in, Sparky's challenge, which will then kick in Roger's challenge, which we're pretty sure is not 3,823.44 Peruvian soles. But that's inspiring. We've got 35 minutes to do that. 2:25:42. Let's cross our fingers. Jack points out in Shreveport pouring liquid molten gold into somebody's mouth was used in Game of Thrones, but he doesn't remember which characters were involved. Well, George R. R. Martin lifted that from reality, from what really happened to Crassus. Of course, every time the Romans were not particularly successful marching into Persia or land held by Persia. They took another great Roman general and turned him into a footstool. So that should tell you a little something about. It's just a warning echoing to us down through history that maybe we might not want to do this. Hey, let's run over to the stress line and see who we got. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Paul.
Well, it's Tracy.
Hey, how the hell are you?
Well, I am, and I think everybody else is the hell okay.
Well, I want to add to the challenge, since you guys have. How much do you need to raise before the end of the show today?
$225.42.
Okay, $50. So anybody, if you get up there, I will match for $50.
Okay, the next $50 gets turned into $100, and that takes us down to $125.42. Which is getting pretty huge. Thank you, Tracy.
Well, Mama got a little change in her pocket today, so.
Mama been gambling?
Mama going gambling tomorrow. Tonight.
So I'm just curious, what do we play when we go gambling, Tracy?
Mama, I play poker.
No kidding.
Yes.
You sit there at the Texas Hold'em table?
Texas Hold'em. I play Texas Hold'em, Let It Rise, and there's another one that I play. I know. I sit at the table and I play poker. It's great. But I always make sure I try to find the table with the oldest, meanest white man on the back, and then I just show my ass. I just show out and become every stereotype that they fear to God, and it's fucking awesome.
Well, I have this mental image, you know, because we've seen each other, and I've got this mental image of Tracy with her steely-eyed gaze across the table. No tells, no flinching, no. Just sitting there cleaning up.
Yeah. It's awesome. It is so awesome. And it's bad enough when I come in and sit down because I act like I don't know what I'm doing. And then when I walk away with a couple of $100 or, you know, sometimes I've left with $1,000 or more, it's like, really? And I walk away and giggle. And I go give the money to Jen and I go back and, you know, I go back the next morning or whatever.
Yeah, don't touch the principal.
No, see, this is, my wife is really good. Like, if I'm playing at a regular dealer table, like, 3-card poker or something, and that's the chips, you know, they're very smart with the chips. You know, no matter how much you win, they try to do their best to give you as many $5 chips as possible because it doesn't look like real money. So it's like, it's just $5, but then, you know, the stacks get higher. So I constantly cash them into $25 and then sometimes eventually $100 chips. And so then Jan will come by every hour or so and pick up the green and black chips. And she's like, okay, you can play with whatever's left.
Well, I am happy to announce that since you announced your challenge, Tracy, it has already been met. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa and Steve in New York have cleared that away. So taken all together, that means with 31 minutes remaining in the program, we got $125 to $4.42. For God's sakes, don't leave out the 42 cents. To go.
It's like when I run the national marathons and they will say it's a 26 mile. I'm like, 26.2. Do not leave out that fucking 0.2 mile because
it's the hardest. It's the hardest part.
It is the hardest, most painful part ever.
Yeah, when back on Back in early July when Agnes and I went on our mistaken hike of the entire Manassas battlefield.
You're not living yourself up.
Well, it was, kinda. But toward the very end was a march uphill.
Oh, my Jesus.
And we had, neither of us had had so much as a drop of water in 8 miles. The blackberries had come ripe, and we ate blackberries along the trail to stay hydrated and keep my sugar up a little bit.
But you know what? That is actually what you were talking about. My sister and I did the same thing to me with some godforsaken battlefield in Kennesaw, Georgia, whatever the weather was. And there's a
park. Kennesaw. The Kennesaw battlefield.
Yeah. We were good until we could go up that hill, and my sister-in-law is 10 years and at least 80 pounds lighter than I am. At least. And I called, and I said, if I didn't love you so much, I would have been calling you. Well, I in my head, I was calling her everything but a child of God. But I couldn't say it out loud, because I love her so much. And to her credit, she knew that I had, at that point, years back, I had been working out and running and stuff like that. And I informed her, but none of it included heels, baby. It was all flat. But here's the thing that I wanted to make. As soon as I heard it, I was wishing it was, 3 o'clock my time, 6 o'clock your time, so I could have called, but then I got busy. So for everybody, hockey cuffs and duct tape time.
Right, yeah.
So, apparently, those people, the evil, what did I call them? The evil genitals? Because I keep, whenever I say
the evil genitals, yes. Or evil genitals, that works too.
That's what I said. Now, I call them evil genitals because whenever I try to say evil genitals, see, it comes out evil genitals. I can't say it. So, EDQ, they were all up in an uproar about AP testing and, what they still have been left out. And left out of the testing. So I guess they won the battle or the war. So from now on AP tests, it is going to be about American exceptionalism. See, I can't even say the shit. And when I heard that, now, I'm glad I'm talking to my horror family because they know I love my country. Even though I shouldn't, but I do.
Right. I understand.
But when they start talking that bullshit.
Oh, the American, and by that bullshit, you mean American exceptionalism.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just sit here, and in my car, while I was in the cab, and I'm sitting there listing why we're not exceptional, okay? And the list is long, and I'm pretty sure that if everybody in that's listening to me right now, they could come up with maybe at least 20 things, if not more, as to why this country is not exceptional. Let's do number one. Student loan debt. Let's talk about number two. Wages have been stagnant in this country for 30 years. Not growing slowly, not steadily rising.
No, well, let me throw one in there just for fun.
That's 42 years.
Why don't we just throw a couple in just to see how many we get?
Mine's kind of like cheating, though, Tracy, because I am a student of Dr. Bill O'Brien.
Oh, no, of course. I mean, but that's okay.
And I have heard his, and I was there when he delivered it one evening, his American exceptionalism lecture. And so I know that when that life support system for a haircut, the Hannity job, starts talking about American exceptionalism, I know he's lying. Because I know that he doesn't even understand what it means. The American exceptionalism that comes from the Shining City on a Hill remarks at the Massachusetts Bay Colony is actually an American exceptionalism that is predicated and founded upon ideas of community and communality and not rugged individualism. and not libertarianism, and not lone wolves and bootstraps and all of that silly horse shit.
So the manure is so deep that, I mean, what do they call them, waders?
Hip waders. Chest waders.
Exactly, hip waders. I need a cover. Shit, I need a hazmat suit. Forget the waders.
About the size of it.
I need a fucking hazmat suit to get through it. Yeah, and what you were saying, like you said, you're a student of Dr. Bill, and one day I hope to actually be, I've only got to hear his show once or twice live, and I was just amazed, and who knows, maybe one day I could actually, you know.
Well, remember, he comes on at 10 o'clock your time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I know, and of course, you know, my brain can only remember so many things.
Yeah, and you're out there at 10 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, you're probably having a life or something, right?
Yeah, maybe, but typically no. But without even being a student of Dr. Bill, just being an average human being, an average horn listener. You know, aside from knowing the full that when you talk about American exceptionalism, it's not what, you know, the mouthpieces or the mouth breathers, rather, on Fox News are talking about. You're talking about working together as a whole, as a community, because we are a people, we are a community. We do so much better together than we will ever do divided. What is it? United we stand, divided we fall?
That's how, yes. But according to libertarianism and the Republican Party, we're all supposed to be all divided up and live in our little nuclear family. And by the way, that would be a straight nuclear family.
A straight homosexual white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
List gets kind of long after a while, doesn't it, Tracy?
Yeah. So what I'm telling you, Bob, I was sitting there and I was actually mentally listening because, of course, I was driving, so I couldn't write the shit down. It pissed me off so bad that I don't like to write, but I do write. But I'm actually going to take I'm getting a scholarship to take a 4-week writing workshop on queer identity, and the guy that's running it is actually changing the outline of the course to include racism because of.
We're going to take that course.
Yeah, it's a $200 course, but he's giving it. I'm taking it for free. But the thing is, I was sitting there when they were saying about American exceptionalism, I was actually thinking about writing my first letter to the editor. I really, really was. And in such a way, and just to list of all the reasons, you know, what you said, what it means truly about American exceptionalism, and listing all the reasons why we're not exceptional. Just today, I have... Hello? What?
Yeah, you're here. You're here.
By what?
Okay.
Oh. Go ahead.
Who's yelling in the back row? Is that Agnes?
No. That was Ron up in Canada.
Oh. But just the fact, like the people today I only have one family from Europe or Great Britain. And they flew here. They just came from Vegas, and now they're on their way on a cruise, and then from here, they're gonna come back from the cruise, go to Hollywood, you know, spend a few days in Hollywood, then to San Francisco, and then back to the UK. Or somewhere in that order, okay?
Yeah.
They're gonna be gone like 3 weeks. How many European countries is it the law, not a suggestion, but the law that you have to give your employees X amount of weeks off for, I don't know, to do nothing or to go away? Could you imagine?
Oh, can you imagine the economic boost from every American citizen being able to take 6 weeks off a year and just go and spend money?
And spend money.
They'd have to build another damn Disney World.
Okay, they're building one in China.
Well, that they are.
The average American needs more vacation time.
You know, yeah, I mean, I know the reality of that. this average internet talk radio guy, last vacation I was on was arguably the Lib Boat, and we wound up working that one.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about the last time a bunch of my boats got on the boat. Ooh.
Ooh. You yeah, let's not. No, that, let, no, no.
That side, you know, that side issue of the Civil War. Yet another reason why we're not exceptional. I mean, just, we don't even go into the past. Let's just talk about, I just heard about the asshole, yet another thing about the asshole who shot the Cecil the Lion. Well, now Zimbabwe is like, fuck you, we want him extradited.
Yeah, and you know what? We ain't gonna.
And we ain't gonna. So this is, I'm listening to, they had a game of wildlife specialist on the news. We have what, talk radio, well, it's actually news radio. Even though it's CBS news radio, it's still better than phone news. And so that's where I get my news enough to that I want to delve deeper, but it gives me enough.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy was talking, but he was a fishing game specialist, whatever, and what they would have to do in order for them to actually extradite him. And apparently, according to the extradition treaty, whatever he did would have to be the same here would be, he would be, it's the same as a year in jail, and like he's like, well, we don't have any wild lions here. Yeah, but we have endangered species that if you get caught hunting them, you're going to jail because PETA ain't going to fall for that shit.
Well,
so,
you know. Go ahead.
So the only thing we have to do is pick an animal that if you killed that animal, the jail time would be a year in jail, and there you go. But then he said, I mean, and it was, but I, we already know that nothing, and he said, like, what if we can find him? If you wanted to find him,
yeah.
If the extradition order went through, you would find his ass.
I don't think we've got an extradition treaty with Zimbabwe, do we?
Tracy, you're bringing this up, and we talked about this with Carol and other people, and I'm horrified by it, but just the fact that you brought it up stirred up an image of what this represents. This represents a white guy from a developed country going into an underdeveloped country like the British used to go into Africa. They used to go in and conquer the people and shoot the animals and bring the animals back as trophies, as evidence of how superior they were, and how they could just go in and just destroy another group's culture
country
and be completely disrespectful. Am I intuiting correctly, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. There's no difference. The only thing is,
yeah,
now
let's take this to its natural ends, though. Let's remember. This guy is a scofflaw wherever he is, okay? Because remember, and I feel bad even talking about it, because it's like, well, you know, last night's program was stuff we may have missed while we were freaking out about a dead lion.
But
it's the fact that he was busted. And it was for illegally hunting black bears. Naturally, the bear was black.
Of course.
In Wisconsin, and all he paid was a
fine.
Oh, yeah? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 2008. He shot a black bear 40 miles outside the hunt zone in Wisconsin, and then tried to sneak it back in.
So the bullshit that he's like, well, I didn't know. I'm like, kiss my ass.
And then he got busted for sport fishing with no license. Again, in the United States, I think we're working a theme here. He has also hunted the endangered black rhino in Africa and killed one of those. I mean, this guy just loves death.
And he's a dentist.
And I know, I don't have to go check. I know how that sumbitch votes. You know, we all know.
Yes.
Barack Obama, the Kenyan Muslim, you slurpers trying to take your guns, and if you can't get your guns, you'll get your ammo.
Hey, Bob.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if he could have 15 minutes left.
Absolutely. Yep. Stand by, Tracy. Go ahead, Spark.
I want to clear something up. Roger's going to match my have a show.
Okay.
He posted, so we'll have Monday and Tuesday covered. If the horn listeners out there fill the hole.
And I have good news. After Tracy's challenge and Asa and Steve's response to it, that took us down to 125.42. Our buddy John out on the road out west just took it down to 75.42. So we got $75.42. And that stands between us and Sparky and Roger, okay? $75.42 to bring in another $400. Can we do that? Are there 10 people with $7.54 apiece?
How did you figure that out so fast, Bob? You don't need to figure that out that quickly.
It makes my little head hurt. I mean, this is right down to the wire. So,
come on, people. We got to do this.
You say it's $7.54?
Well, 10 people at $7.54.
For 10 people.
Or one person at $75.42.
But 10 people at $8 would just be $80 and be negative.
And yeah, we're done. And we actually, and see, the bottom line of all this is we're actually trying to not finish July in any kind of a hole. We came into today at $499 down. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so we got $75.42 left to go.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, Sparky.
I forgot I got a money order from Mighty Mouse in the chat room.
Yeah.
For $25, so throw that in for tonight.
$50.42. That's 10 people at $5.04.
Oh, hell, I'll throw in 25, Bob.
Thank you, Rick.
Sure, you bet.
Okay, so now that's 50, it's now 75, so that does it, right?
No, we're now down to $25.42.
No, it's $25 now.
So, wait, with the $50 that I'm saying, and then if I throw in another $25, won't that do it?
And 42 cents.
Okay, so $26.
Okay.
So $76.
Yes.
Are we good people?
We are good.
Did we do this shit?
We did this.
Good. Oh, Larry, I wish you could give some
money. Now, I want
y'all to know that you're cutting into Mama's. Don't sweat it,
Larry. Don't sweat it. You're cutting into Mama's gambling money, so you better hope I win.
If I could send you a sweaty prayer hanky, I could guarantee you'll win. But you don't want no sweaty. You don't want no sweaty prayer hanky from some 50-year-old pudgy white boy.
Yeah, well, hey, whatever works, baby, whatever works. You know. But you know what? I really think we should do. I am now intrigued with this whole American exceptionalism and why we're not. I think it should be a thing on the Horn Facebook page to see how many reasons we can name from the Horn family why this country is not so exceptional. And again, it's not that we don't love our country. It's not that we're saying anything treasonous or traitor, or, you know, we're not traitors. We're just speaking the truth. Which, for some people, that means we're traitors and not patriotic, and we're committing treason because we're telling the truth. The truth has a funny way of doing that kind of stuff. But I tell you, I was trying really hard not to scream when I heard that on the radio, and I'm like, wow. And then right after that, we started talking about...
Well, you know, from there, Tracy, to AP history, why Ronald Reagan should be raised to God status, it's around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were... Pretty much the Republicans have already raised him to God status
Yeah, but it falls to the rest of us to fall to our knees. I ain't going gladly. And I ain't going willingly.
Well, as much as I love my wife, she actually, now she's a Democrat now, and you know, she told me a little while ago that she actually voted for Reagan. And I'm like,
are you crazy? Are you crazy? Are you?
Well, you say, lucky I love you. And that's for better or for worse, because that was the seriously for worse part. I'm like, no, you did not fucking.
No, listen, don't get too wrought, Tracy. There's Democrats all over this country that voted for Ronald Reagan because he showed us a commercial of a shining city on a hill and said, America will be ketchup again.
Good boy.
I voted for Reagan in 1980. I was a nascent Democrat at that time. In other words, I was a Republican.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So one time, though. Okay? That's it. That's my one mistake.
And by the way, we just went over the top. Thank you very kindly to Janie. Thank you, Janie, very much. A long time supporter of the program and a pillar. Thank you, Janie. We just went over the top. So Monday and Tuesday and part of Wednesday now. This is the first chance we've had in a long time to actually get way out and get a week ahead. Wouldn't that be cool?
That is great news.
Well, I got it. Well, about Reagan. When Reagan got up in front of had a press conference and got angry because the administration wanted to negotiate with the UC Berkeley students about what they were protesting about or about what they wanted, and he felt that all the college students in California should be treated like little kids, that really pissed me off. And when he didn't have any tolerance for counterculture ideas, especially when he was a young actor, he was a fairly liberal guy. It just goes way back.
Yet another reason why this country is not exceptional. Before Ronnie became governor of California, if you were a California resident, you went to the UC for free.
Yeah, that had to go.
That had to go. You know, and then when he became president, what does he do? He closes down the mental health hospital.
Well, and see, by the time he got to be president, that had become a Reagan thing. We used to have state-supported mental health hospitals in like three different places in West Virginia. They all got closed.
Mm-hmm.
They all got closed.
All of them.
And under the guise of being humane, they were simply turned. The residents there were simply turned out onto the streets.
All right. And so now we have. The rise of, I don't know, the homelessness in America. And how many of those people were veterans?
Sure. How many of them always are?
Always are. So, again, that American exceptionalism, we could probably dedicate a show or two or three as to why we are. I mean, that is just an SAB basin for me to write. And I hate writing.
But you know what? It sounds like a beauty.
It's going to be one of those, because, like I said, as much as I hate to write, it pissed me off so much that I was thinking already about writing an essay, and I hate writing. But I'm like, this is some bullshit. American exceptionalism.
Well, I first started hearing that idea when Palin started talking about it, or maybe before. Was that before, Bob? Were people talking about it before?
Oh, yeah. It's been banging around out there for a while.
I can't wait. When is the first Republican debate?
Next Thursday.
Get the fuck. For real?
Do I have to watch that clown car?
Well, we've got a debate that we're going to be sorting out in the next few days. Do we actually run the audio from this pageant during the program, or do I just leave it potted down and you get to occasionally hear me bark out strange forest noises?
Yeah, I could just hear you and Mike right now on the during the debate. Just absolutely.
I don't know if we can stomach. I don't know if the family could stomach and listening to the entire debate or the pageant. You know, it's like
maybe we'll just run it in the background and pop in when it looks like somebody stupid's going to say something really stupid.
Like
well,
Trump.
Somebody stupid. Isn't that redundant?
Well, that's what I mean. That's the problem you get into, Tracy. Then you wind up running the whole damn thing anyway. Because they're all stupid. And they're not just stupid. They're mean and stupid.
Yep.
They're mean and stupid. What was his name on Back to the Future?
Skip or whatever, Biff?
Biff.
Yeah, they're all Biff. But see, I mean, there are all kinds of problems that attend this pageant on Thursday night. For instance, every night we have a Hitler pool here on the program. Who had 856, by the way? Gerald, again? and so the thing is, we'll have to take five or six different entries just because, I mean, just for Mike Huckabee alone. And Ted Cruz. And Trump. It'll be the early days of the A&E network all over again before they had duck idiots. It'll be all Hitler all the time with that crowd.
Wait a minute. Speaking of Ted Cruz, I hate even forming my lips and my mouth to say Ted Cruz. So yesterday, while I was ranting, or it might have been the day before, I was watching Jeopardy. And the question... No, it wasn't Jeopardy. I take that back. It was, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? The question was, what Texas, whatever, Senator, you know, said, wrote the U.S. Constitution for dummies. And so, before this person, this Texas, whatever, became a senator, so the question, the choices were Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Elizabeth Warren, and Al Franken. And I'm sitting there screaming, fucking Ted Cruz. I knew it was fucking Ted Cruz because Michael Rubio...
Don't use that participle in front of Ted Cruz. You'll destroy the libidos of the entire Horn Family Commune congregation. Damn it, Tracy.
I'm sorry. But I'm sitting there because, of course, I didn't know that he actually wrote a book.
Wait. Tracy, this is going to happen off air. You're going to have to jump into the Skype group because...
Oh, right, because you're going off the air.
We're done.
Well, I don't know. But Skype is stuck on stupid, so I don't know. But I'm going to try.
All right,
do that.
Good, Tracy.
Bye, y'all. And good night. Good night to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Good night. Good night, Sparky, and thank you so much for taking care of Monday. Thank you to Roger for taking care of Tuesday. And thank you, everyone. I've tried to mention everyone as we went along. Thank you, one and all, including Shorty in L.A. Thank you, one and all, for helping us finish July. Okay. There's going to be a frenzy of bill paying take place tomorrow and partly tonight. Thank you very, very much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to everyone who communicates, participates, however it is you do it. Thank you very, very much. Because that's what keeps this all going and has for over 10 years. Thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And ACHEACT.org. And yes, always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you.